To make sense of how your 2021 local government elections vote can transform your city,
stay on 702 and Cape Talk.
Well, we are 16 days away from the local government elections on the 1st of November. Following the 2016 local government elections, we saw a number of metros and obviously municipalities being governed in coalition agreements between various political parties. The most significant of which were the cities of Johannesburg, City of Tswane, Ekurhuleni, as well as Nelson Mandela Bay. Now, three of those four metros have seen disrupted service delivery to the citizens of those respective metros, with the only exclusion really being Ekurhuleni, that seems to have enjoyed a seemingly quiet coalition that has not, seen mayors changing and councils being dissolved and matters being taken to court. Dr. Jolene Steyn-Kotse is a chief research specialist in democracy and citizenship at the Human Science Research Council. Jolene, thank you very much for joining us on a Friday morning.
Good morning.
We know that coalitions are certainly the order of, or the way of the future, right? We've seen it now playing itself out in local governments for a number of elections. There are many other smaller municipalities that have been run in coalition government. But it's only when the metros had to be in coalition government that we started paying close attention, because as I indicated, in three of those four, there seemed to be disruption of service delivery to the citizens of those metros because of, political ideology differences, disagreement in leadership, all sorts of things that obviously impacted on governance. What, in your opinion, is the recipe for a successful coalition government?
You know, I think it is going to be very, very critical for political parties to reflect on the last 5 years of coalition governance, especially within your larger metros. I think some of the key lessons learned is that many of these, shall we say, marriages of convenience were forged, either to keep the opposition out or to get the ruling party out. So that proverbial the enemy of my enemy is my friend type of philosophy, I think, really underscored many of these coalition formations. And I do think it is critical for political parties to already now have a conversation amongst themselves, as well as with constituencies and the ordinary citizen who they are wanting to go out to vote, about who is going to work with who. What will our developmental priorities within the local government and local governance space be? That they are very strong and I would say a strong commitment to whatever agreements political parties make, so that your ideological differences on the one hand, but also on the other hand, smaller parties using councils as theatres in order to get politically prestigious positions, that type of dynamic in politics do not play out.
How do we undo that, Jolene, when that is really the way things are done, right? Many people will see themselves as kingmakers and therefore negotiate for often very, very lucrative portfolios in a MACO membership of the metros, particularly where they'll be in charge of budgets. And they use that as a, political tool to advance their own career, but also, as you say, exert some influence and enjoy profile.
No, most definitely. And I think that is why those conversations are very, very critical. Not just, I would say, your coalition formation agreements with national leadership of the political parties, because there has to be buy-in from local representatives within the metros as well. So it's all very good and well for national leaders to draw up, coalition agreements. But in the absence of buy-in from local actors, who would look at a specific coalition and say, but no, wait, I'm not happy with this portfolio. I want that portfolio. But this political party needs me in order to remain within the governance space. And then very often, we also find the dynamic play out that the national leadership may not necessarily be able to, for lack of a better word, control.
Yeah, the Democratic Alliance making it very clear that they will not go into any coalition agreements with the EFF, which is going to be interesting because, any coalition agreement will have to include either the EFF or the ANC, and we know that they will not go into bed with the ANC, even though their political ideology, particularly when it comes to economy, is probably more closely aligned than it is with the EFF. Do we, in your opinion, as the electorate, have an appreciation of the damage that coalition governments have caused in certain municipalities? I mean, if you look at Nelson Mandela Bay, that coalition government really resulted in service delivery being compromised and, quite frankly, an embarrassment in that council given the fighting. I mean, one ANC councillor was imprisoned as a result of attacking a fellow councillor in that council. Do we then realize not giving a particular power, a party rather, an outright majority is actually not good for us in our particular municipality?
You know, it's a very difficult question because, you know, on the one hand, I do think that we have an electorate that has a very strong appreciation of the necessity of administrative stability, political stability. You know, that when you look at a council and you look at who manages portfolios, that they are expertise in those various areas. Because very often, you know, and it's not just within the coalition government context, I would argue. I would say it actually spans a bit broader, that we almost find this political patronage where people are awarded certain portfolios or positions, not necessarily based on skill, but rather based on political connection or political patronage. And that in itself then starts damaging the ability of councils to be effective, because once you work within that space, you run the risk of council becoming a political theater, where you have different players advancing different either factional political agendas or alternatively personal political agendas. So I think for me, we find an expression where we see less and less people going out to the polls, because although people believe I have a very, very strong duty to vote, there is also a sentiment to say, but voting is futile. Nothing changes. Why should I go out and vote?
Which is most unfortunate. We do hope that we'll be going out in our numbers, of course, on the 1st of November. Dr. Jolene Steyn-Kutzer, thank you very much indeed for your time this morning. Chief Research Specialist in Democracy and Citizenship at the Human Science Research Council. It's 5:23.